O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us and grant us thy peace. Amen. The text of God's word on our second Lenten meditation this evening is recorded in the first general epistle of Peter, chapter 1, reading from verses 18 through verse 19 as follows. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, the only Redeemer of fallen mankind, dearly beloved fellow watchers with him in his bitter passion. The focus of last week's Lenten meditation was the necessity of our redemption. That necessity was completely and yet simply set forth by the Apostle Paul, where he wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. In addition, we were once again reminded that the Lenten season, and in particular Ash Wednesday, is a time for mourning over those very sins which made it necessary for our dear Lord Jesus to die. But with our hearts broken and contrite over the wretched reflection staring back at us from the mirror of God's holy law, we hear, by His grace, the Lord's gospel, pronounced in the confident expression of David in the 86th Psalm, Thou, Lord, art ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy to all that call upon Thee. It is by the working of the Holy Ghost, through that very gospel of good news, that we earnestly and desperately desire those blessings for ourselves, and by His working, we have those blessings applied to us as well. But why is it that we, along with the psalmist, may hear this wonderful and comforting gospel promise, when all we deserve to hear is the thundering and fearsome pronouncement of God's condemnation? That gracious forgiveness and the Lord's plenteous mercy came with a price, and a very dear price at that. As we continue to ponder in our hearts this evening our Savior's work in order to redeem all fallen mankind, including you and including me, let us focus specially on the cost of our redemption, as the Apostle Peter sets this forth in our text. Ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Ever since Adam and Eve forfeited the perfect and holy image of God in which they were created, as well as the pristine nature of God's whole creation, every single human being conceived and born in the natural way became partakers of their corruption, of their estrangement from God, and of their condemnation in His sight. By nature, they live a vain conversation, an empty way of life, received by tradition, that is, handed down as an inheritance from their fathers. And in this vain way of life, and as flesh born of flesh, they all bring forth their own wicked thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. They have all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one, the psalmist pronounces, regarding God's clear view of the total depravity of the children of men. Because they themselves are totally corrupt, and because they live in a world totally corrupted by their wickedness, the psalmist declares none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious. It ought to be no surprise, then, that in our text, the Apostle Peter confirms that we were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, received from our vain conversation, received by tradition from our fathers. Silver and gold are earthly elements, and part of the creation which man corrupted by sin. Yet we sinful human beings assign to them a high value because of their luster and because of their other physical and natural properties which appeal to us, and because they are scarce. But even though we regard silver and gold as precious metals, we understand that sometimes silver and gold are more precious than at other times. As these commodities are traded, especially in our fast-paced electronic exchanges, their value fluctuates or changes based on the principle of supply and demand. Therefore, the so-called security associated with investment in gold and silver fluctuates as well. And those fluctuations can make investment in them seem less attractive than the allure of big returns in the stock market. But as we go about our day-to-day activities, and we carry on our vain conversation, our empty way of life, passed down from the generations which came before, we use gold and silver to purchase goods and services, and in these modern times, to form a standard or basis according to which governments issue currencies. But as highly as this world values silver and gold, the Lord does not share that opinion. He has no use for such carnal things, neither does he have use for any one who would offer them to him apart from saving faith. Besides, all the carnal things which we highly value in our earthly lives will be destroyed when the Lord burns up the world anyway. No, these corruptible materials and their corruptible valuations do not, nor could they possibly, make up a suitable payment for something as precious as the redemption of souls. Instead of corruptible things as silver and gold, the Apostle Peter assures us that we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. By the comparison between the Messiah and a lamb without blemish and without spot, we are reminded of the Lord's institution of the Passover, which the children of Israel celebrated in the final night of their captivity in Egypt, as this is recorded in Exodus chapter 12. Among the very specific instructions which the Lord gave them regarding this feast, he prescribed that the lamb which they were to kill and to eat be one without blemish. And the children of Israel were to use the blood of that lamb, that type of Christ, to paint the doorposts of the houses wherein they were dwelling, in order that they be saved from the final and terrible plague of death, which the Lord was to visit upon the land of Egypt that very night. It was by the blood of the unblemished lamb painted upon their doorposts that the Lord did not suffer or allow the destroyer to enter and to kill their firstborn, but rather he passed them over with his plague. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. When the Word, the eternal Son of God, was made flesh in the fullness of time, he was not conceived and born in sin, as we are. But from the very conception, by the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary, he was holy. He was never rebellious against God, as we are, according to the working of our sinful human nature. Instead, the writer to the Hebrews records Christ's words, I come to do thy will, O God, to complete his mission as our Redeemer. And in Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, we learn that our dear Savior became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In completing his divine mission, by doing his Father's will, by becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, our dear Lord Jesus was indeed, as Peter describes, a lamb without blemish and without spot. As our perfect Passover, his precious blood was required. The precious blood of Christ was the only payment with a sufficient enough value to serve as a ransom for every soul of man. And our unblemished and unspotted Savior willingly shed that precious blood for us in the culmination of his bitter passion, while suffering the wrath of God and the curse of sin, which all of us deserve to suffer. He was made a curse for us, Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3. As it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Unlike the fickle and vain valuations of our corruptible silver and gold, which dip and spike with each trading day and with each passing financial rumor, we know that our Heavenly Father has always esteemed Christ's one-time shedding of blood as the precious and all-sufficient ransom payment for our souls. And we know that he will continue to do this as well. By one offering, we read in Hebrews 10, verse 14, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Without the one offering of the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, there would be no hope for us, wretched sinners, at all. An eternal death in hell could be the only outcome, as the just wages of sin which we earned for ourselves. Because of who we are by nature and because of what we have, mere corruptible things, we could never atone for ourselves. Our Savior, the very Messiah typified in the Passover feast, had to make this ransom for us, yea, for all men, because of who he is. True God and true man, perfectly obedient to God's holy law unto which he became subject. And he had to do this for us because only he had the one and only price which God would accept for our redemption. This was always God's plan, dear brethren. Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world to do this very thing. And he was manifest in these last times for us, so that our faith and so that our hope might be in God, not in ourselves. As we progress into the Lenten season and hear once again the account of Jesus' suffering and death in the readings from the Passion History, let us look to his cross and see the precious ransom price which our dear Savior willingly paid to redeem us. Let us humbly acknowledge that his precious blood, and not anything that we bring to the table, as it were, was the only payment whereby God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And dear brethren, as we, with our eyes of faith, gaze upon the cross as it bears our dear Messiah, a lamb without blemish and without spot, let us rejoice that the precious blood flowing from his wounds marks the doorposts of our hearts. And let us take comfort that we are safe under the cover of his grace and his mercy for Jesus' sake. Here, the true Paschal Lamb we see, whom God so freely gave us. He died on the accursed tree, so strong his love, to save us. See, his blood doth mark our door. Faith points to it. Death passes o'er, and Satan cannot harm us. Amen. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us and grant us thy peace. Amen.